Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College, home of the Aspire program and its multifaceted approach to career preparation. The new program is designed to cultivate leadership and entrepreneurial skills while empowering each Carthage student to shape a custom career development plan from the first days they are on campus. Learn more about the Aspire program at carthage.edu/aspire. 2 points of business before we get to today's interview. First of all, we want to remind you that Wisconsin Public Radio is conducting its fall membership drive right now. And if you appreciate anything that comes over the airwaves of WGTD, including the morning show, we hope that you will make a financial contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio to express your appreciation and support. You can do so online at WPR.org. You're also welcome to call them toll-free, 1-888-202-2552. And if and when you do call or go online to make a contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio, please mention that you are a listener to WGTD and to The Morning Show, and we appreciate your interest and support. We also want to remind you that The Morning Show is now available in podcast format. If podcasts are an easier way for you to enjoy the program or revisit it, feel free to subscribe to The Morning Show with Greg Berg. It's available on all of the major platforms that provide podcasts, including Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast. Again, make sure that you look for the title The Morning Show with Greg Berg, because there are probably 100 different podcasts that are just called The Morning Show. This is The Morning Show with Greg Berg. And when you subscribe, you end up being able to enjoy a different morning show, not 5 days a week, but 7 days a week, because over the weekend, we dip into the archive and share other interviews from the past. So please consider being a subscriber to the Morning Show podcast. And thank you. And at 12 minutes after 8 o'clock, we welcome you to the Morning Show. I'm Gregory Berg, and happy to be welcoming Nan Calvert, who's making her monthly visit to the program. Almost didn't make it into September. The month is dwindling by, but it has worked out nicely, actually, for her to join us today. And she's brought a special guest with her who has been on the morning show before, and we could not be more pleased to have her back, Dawn DeMute. Nan, explain this invitation and why you are so excited about the EcoJustice Youth Farm Corps program.
Well, last year we had Dawn on, and it was just after the very first go-round. And so we got a snapshot of what that first time was like. And now a year has passed, and they have a lot of experience under their belt and a lot of harvesting under their belt. And so I thought it would be really interesting to revisit and see how it's gone and see how things have evolved since then. You know, this is kind of typically what people think of as harvest season. So it's a good time to do this. There are pumpkins everywhere, and, you know, the farm markets are bursting with delicious things. So it's good timing to have her here. Plus, she's a really cool chick to have on the radio. So.
Of course. So, Dawn, we welcome you back to the morning show. It's great to have you here. I second everything that that Nan just said. Before we talk specifically about the Youth Farm Corps program, I know that it is important to you, and I think it always bears repeating to tell people, especially people who might be new to the area or for whatever reason are not really fully aware of the Eco Justice Center. And that is, you are under their auspices, and I know you want to really underscore the connection between the Eco Justice Center and the Youth Farm Corps program. So can we just begin there with just a word or two, and Nan, feel free to join in with a word about the Eco Justice Center itself.
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you, Greg. I'm happy to be here as well and report on where we are with our Youth Farm Corps program. As Nan has introduced, and I appreciate that you're giving us this opportunity to share more about the Eco Justice Center. The Eco Justice Center, which is located in Racine, was founded in 2004 with the mission of environmental education. It is open to the public 7 days a week. It is a very welcoming, peaceful place for individuals or families to come. They have the opportunity to wander the property, experience just reconnecting with nature, whether that means walking a labyrinth, whether that means connecting with the animals on our property, whether it is bringing their children to experience, you know, the beauty of the place, the flowers, the gardens. So we love to share the fact that while we do serve primarily for environmental education, we welcome visitors always and encourage people to come and check us out.
Right. So it isn't just a matter of come take a class here or come for some specific event, but it's just a beautiful, wonderful place to simply
be.
Visit. Yes. I wanted to say almost like a tourist, but I don't really mean that in the crassest sense of the word. But I mean it in the sense of the way somebody makes a point of visiting the Statue of Liberty or the lighthouse on the north side of Racine. This is a place that everybody should see, even though it isn't a glitzy kind of commercial enterprise. It offers something, as you said, that's beautiful and peaceful and really opens our eyes to a way that we could live on this earth that is different from the way most of us live. And maybe we should try to make that really, really clear, that part of what the Eco Justice Center is all about is living and existing in really sustainable fashion.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. So it is a 15-acre property, and as leaders in our community, it is the mission for the Dominican sisters who founded this property to represent alternative energy. So visitors also will see a wind turbine. They will see solar panels installed. They may not be aware of it, but we also run geothermal there. The tiles that are used on the roof are recycled from rubber tires. So there's a lot of things that, even if you don't meet one of us who work and serve there, there is a self-guided tour book that you can pick up and learn a lot about what's going on with our sustainable practices on property. So we do serve to be a model to other organizations and to people interested in learning more about alternative energy.
Right. Very good. And for many people, what they might remember especially vividly is the compost toilet that you can see with your own eyes as, you know, just one more way in which the way we live our lives can be dramatically different.
So
let's talk now about the Youth Farm Corps program, which, as Nan mentioned in her introduction, was introduced not that long ago. Tell us a little bit about the impetus behind it. What prompted it to be created in the first place?
Sure. That's a great question. What prompted the Youth Farm Corps program? I think there are many answers to that, but I think one of the key things that we recognize is the importance of connecting with our food system and educating youth in regards to the food that they choose to consume. What are the impacts of that food, and what's the nutritional value, and also knowing that Racine has been designated by the USDA as a food desert, which, when we think about our high schools and even our younger grades, we focus on high school students, of course. Part of it is knowing that the skills that they attain and the knowledge that they learn gives them a little more control in making some food choices, learning how to prepare foods that are nourishing to them mind, body, and soul,
right,
as opposed to fast food choices. So there's a heavy nutritional component to the Youth Farm Corps program. And those things we really wanted to focus on, as well as life skills and first job experiences, getting these young people ready to step into employment and having something under their belt that gave them the building blocks to understand what it's like to be an employee and be paid for an honest day's work.
Hmm. Before we get to exactly the work that they do, I want you to clarify for our listeners, many will know, but some may not understand the term a food desert. Explain what is wrapped up in that designation and what makes it so troubling when we have many, many, many young people living in what amounts to a food desert. Explain that terminology.
Sure. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. So a food desert designation means that within a certain mile radius, there is not access to grocery stores. Now, there might be access to walking distance, perhaps, to gas stations with the selections that they offer, quickie food marts, but not typically are you going to walk into those locations and find fresh produce. And that is the unfortunate state of not just our area, many areas where we didn't have the density, perhaps, or there were not the investors that would come in and start a grocery store because they're looking at their bottom line. And what that leaves in cities like Racine is areas that, if you rely on public transportation, if you rely on simply having to walk to get your groceries, and you don't have the vehicle to extend your purchasing options, you really are limited to what's in a manageable area. And the unfortunate part of that is then you're limited in your food choice options.
Very much so, seriously. So,
yeah. I mean, back in the day, there used to be small neighborhood grocery stores. So you could get milk and bread and produce and that sort of thing. And then eventually, of course, those were replaced by giant grocery store chains that moved out to the exurbs and the suburbs and became parts of strip malls and all of those kinds of things. And those are not necessarily on bus lines. You can't get there. So this kind of a program is so important, not only for students, but then the carryover for other offerings at the Eco Justice Center. So let's say you grew whatever. Now what do you do with it? You know, how do you prepare it? How do you preserve it? How are you going to make it last for a while? So all of these things are extremely important. And then, you know, does it mean that some of those kids will become farmers? Maybe. Maybe they'll be the next generation farmers because of the things that they're learning. But even if they don't, this is something they'll carry with them for the rest of their lives. Yes, I know how to grow this. I could feed myself. I could feed my family. Maybe I could even feed my neighborhood if I started a community or an urban garden.
Well, so. and at the very least, they'll just understand in a much more direct way where
food comes from, right? Yeah.
And just be mindful of farms. Mm-hmm. I mean, and again, we think of some of these youth that probably scarcely venture outside the city limits of Racine, and maybe only to a limited extent venture even outside of their own neighborhoods, and just have no idea about what farming is like. And most of us don't have the awareness that we should, even if we're whipping down the highway. The farms on either side of the road are just kind of a blur to us that a lot of us don't stop to consider and appreciate. Before we go on, let me reintroduce you. We have Nan Calvert here on the morning show, and she has brought with her Dawn DeMute, who is the manager of the Youth Farm Corps program at the Eco Justice Center. So I think we still need to make clear to our listeners who is involved in the Youth Farm Corps program, and you've already touched on the fact that they do an honest day's work. So who is the Youth Farm Corp program designed for? And when a young person becomes part of it, what exactly are they doing?
I think first I want to point out that I am extremely proud to say 2020 will be our fifth year of the Youth Farm Corp program. And that's a very exciting thing that we've been able to do is cultivate and nurture the youth. So,
yeah, not just plants and not just crops, but yeah, people too.
Right. Yeah. And to clarify the term farm, I do want to be clear that we are not this is not a monocrop farm. This is not a field of soybeans or corn. This is a diversified vegetable garden, if you will, small-scale farming, no-till, organic practices. And when we roll out the Youth Farm Corps program, our goals are first to hire for a paid internship a crew leader. So what the Youth Farm Corps consists of is a crew leader who is college age, who has a very keen interest in environmental sciences, biology perhaps, gaining skills in leadership, because that college age crew leader, and if you're out there listening or you know someone who fits this bill, we want to talk to you. That crew leader may not have all the farming or gardening knowledge, but we help them with that. And they will learn a lot about growing their own food. Last year, 2019 season, we had two crew leaders, which was wonderful because then they're able to support the crew a little bit better. In addition to our college-level crew leaders, we hire up to four high school students. Our priority is to recruit high school students who may have the free or reduced lunch program. Mm. We want to engage them first and foremost. That is our priority for outreach, is a recipient of the free and or reduced lunch program. And the program itself, once we build our crew, which starts, of course, in the summertime, the kids get out of school, and we don't want them connecting to electronic apparatus. They're going to experience every day of the week being out in the field, connecting with nature, their literal footprint in the environment and on the ground. So they're connecting on a daily basis in a way that they haven't connected probably in a long time. So we have our crew leaders, back to the crew. We have our high school students. And the evolution of the Youth Farm Corps program, each year it does change. Nothing stays static. You know, we're learning each year how to engage these youth, how to really make an impactful experience for them. And while that means we are paying them, we have a very large component of education. So their day and their responsibilities span animal care. They need to feed the animals in the morning, and that those animals on our property are alpaca, goats, rabbits, chickens. And caring for them is a big responsibility. So the youth are taking on probably more responsibility than they've held for any living thing in their entire lives.
Right.
Having a pet at home, there's usually somebody else in the household who's got your back. They are learning true responsibility by caring for and connecting with these animals. And hands down, this is the one thing every student that's passed through our program says is the most rewarding to them. Because they're making a difference every day.
Wow.
Now, they're also learning that picking up manure isn't always pleasant. However, that manure serves the holistic system, which means that it's carried to the compost pile and eventually it returns to the garden as our compost. as finished compost. So there's animal care. Then there's the beginning of the season where they are learning how to grow a seed. You know, the importance of understanding that seeds are a gift. We do not use hybrid seeds. We stick to open pollinated and or heirloom or seeds that have a legacy and have been around for hundreds of years. And even just a student understanding that, that everything's, you know, typically is going to start with a seed and you have the power to grow and nurture this. So they start with that seed. They learn how to transplant. They learn about caring for the soil. They're learning about tools like broad forking or alternatives to a tiller, which is changing. We don't encourage changing the levels of soil where all that biodiversity happens. They're learning about the harvesting. They're learning about then what do I do with that harvest? Because if you're gardening, you're doing it usually with a passion to enjoy that food at the end of the process. So the harvesting part, then we incorporate sales and marketing. So they're learning how to communicate with the consumer, you know, at farmers markets or events about the pride in what they've just accomplished, which is really important for them to walk away with. For anyone, any job you do, you want to take pride in it and be able to share that newfound experience with your peers, your friends, your family. So we encourage them to be able to talk about and promote what they're doing, which then extends outward to the community. So it really is the whole life cycle of what a holistic farm needs. It does need the animals. It does need the healthy soil. It does need the skills of growing a plant and then knowing when to harvest it at its proper time for the best flavor, the best nutrition.
You know, it's interesting how one could have a program like this that would be of immense value in and of itself, even apart from the piece that just now you were touching on, namely the specific practices with which this garden is used, that is, the sustainable practices by which all of this is grown. And that's a huge lesson in and of itself that probably a whole lot of adults from very nice neighborhoods also would benefit from learning. I'd love to have you just give a few more details on what we are talking about, on how these vegetables are raised in a fashion different from the typical garden where you toss around fertilizer and go in with a tiller and so on. Explain some of the specific practices that make this garden extra special as well as the things that are grown there. Let's start with the fact that it's no-till. Explain why that is so beneficial.
Yeah, and I think it is important to distinguish small-scale agriculture as being part of a solution to having our food grown closer to home. Many of us don't have access to a lot of space. And the beauty in small-scale agriculture is that you have something that's much more manageable. And it doesn't require special equipment. It doesn't require the use of fossil fuels. It really just requires some physical energy. And we all could stand, you know, to have something that keeps us active and physical in any period of our lives. So that's when we're talking about no-till or promoting healthy soils, it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. And perhaps that's what we as a society have gotten used to, is that immediate gratification with throwing the fertilizer on there. But if we are paying attention, we know that chemical fertilizers are detrimental. We know that there are some things that are not healthy in pesticides that ultimately are consumed by us. We know these things, and therefore, if our approach is systematic, we can choose to not use chemical fertilizers. We can choose to not bring in a rototiller and destroy some of that biodiversity with that tilling by doing what we call as low till or no till. You probably can't manage that on 500 acres, but you can manage it.
Actually, you can.
Well,
there's a big push right now within the large-scale monocropping farm community in Racine County. There's a big push to get farmers to convert to no-till practices. And as Dawn was saying, there's a reason for that. It actually destroys some of the beneficial microorganisms in the soil that allow the soil to clump together and hold on to itself. Mm. So when you till, when you're constantly tilling, you're destroying that structure. And so it's much easier for the soil to wash away. It's much easier for the soil to blow away. But when you practice no-till, combine that with cover cropping. So you might have two or three different kinds of cover crops in your no-till field that have various root lengths. Hmm. You obviously are holding on to the soil then and helping, return the soil structure.
Hmm. Yeah, thank you, Nan. And that's encouraging, very encouraging to hear that perhaps we can stop the loss of our soil
exactly. By
these practices. But I don't want the listeners to think that this is overwhelming or complicated. It can be as simple as, okay, this year I'm just going to put 2 to 3 inches of compost on top of my bed. I want to cover my soil for the winter. Maybe I'll just throw some straw on top. Of course, cover cropping is a beautiful solution. But for individuals who really are interested in learning more, I do invite them to connect with the Eco Justice Center and volunteer. I'd love to volunteer and put the fall gardens to bed, and I'll do that because I want to learn more about what you're doing. How do you put the garden to bed? How are we practicing some of these things that will improve my soil at home? And I want to assure people that it can be very simple things that are choices that we make that refute what we're being told, which is you need to, you know, throw some chemicals on there, or you need to kill the weeds with this, because that's simply not true.
Right.
And we welcome individuals who have an interest, and it's an outside the scope of this program. Yes, our Youth Farm Corps program is 9 weeks out of the summer, but we all know the garden is growing from spring all the way to fall. Mm. And that garden is a hub of activity for many other things that we do at the Eco Justice Center. And as education is our mission, I do welcome people to contact us through our volunteer program and express an interest in, I'd love to help in the garden and learn more about this. And with the hope that we grow our community to have more formal education sessions about these practices in particular, and that would be very exciting to host.
Absolutely. By the way, what is the pest situation in your beautiful garden? I assume you use few, if any, standard pesticides in your practice. So do you have to ward off pests in other ways, or do you just kind of live with the pests and live with the damage that typical garden pests do? How is that handled?
There are pests. That is a reality. I think, remember, though, that some of those quote-unquote pests are beneficials.
Right.
And
even as I said the word, I thought, I have a feeling it's more wrapped up in this than the way we tend to think of anything that flies around a garden. I mean, we want many of those insects to be there.
We do. We do. We want the pollinators. We want the native pollinators. First point being, there are products out there that are certified for organic use, which you absolutely can use. What you'll see is an OMRI symbol on the product. So there are products out there that if people want to purchase them, they absolutely can. There are also many things that you can make at home without purchasing. So soft bodies and insects, you know, may respond differently than hard-bodied insects to a mix of chili pepper, things that are unpalatable for them. Now, having said that, we have a very significant problem with flea beetles. And one of the things that we can do to combat that is move our crops. So they call that, you know, crop rotation. Don't plant it in the same place every year. Yes, we can choose to make sprays that deter or make the product that's growing less attractive to them. But a very simple solution is row cover. You put the plants in, it's a very light fabric, and you put it over your crop, and it's protected. Because the flea beetles like the plants when they're small, they're not as attracted to them as they're maturing. So just get it past that crucial stage. When you come into, and I'm assuming you're all going to come to the Eco Justice Center and visit, whether it's for our event or just a walkthrough, you will see a lot of diversity in our gardens. And what you will see is that we plant a lot of flowers and a lot of perennials and things that draw the beneficials and draw the pollinators. And nature starts correcting itself after a certain point in time. One of the things that you might see are parasitic wasps that attach themselves to the hornworms. And those wasps, you don't want to kill those because that's what takes care of your hornworm problem on your tomatoes. So if you see the little white things growing out the backs of the tomato hornworm, that's a parasitic wasp that will cause the demise of your hornworm in a very natural way. Where I didn't, you can pick them off by hand too, but they're kind of gross. And our FarmCore crew, I would say there's two things that, you know, they always say, I just didn't like that so much. It's, you know, picking off potato bugs or worms and weeding. So, but it's a lesson, you know, with reward, you have to put in the effort. So weeding is part of gardening. And,
you know, I think it's so interesting when, you know, Don talks about the young people coming to the EcoJ, and it's such an immersive experience. But you were saying, you know, even people who, you know, don't live in an urban area or, you know, they could probably benefit from an immersive experience like this, because when you grow things, when you're tending animals and you're tending plants and you're tending the soil, you begin establishing a different kind of connection with the world, you know, and then you begin to watch the weather and you know, when the soil temp is right and when the moisture is right and when it's wrong and all those kinds of things. So you begin to really have a much more connected outlook in terms of the earth rather than connected with your device and your schedule for the day and, you know, all those kinds of things. It really does open up your whole world, I think, in a really beautiful, wonderful way.
Absolutely. So how many young people are we talking about that, for instance, in this last go-round were part of the Youth Farm Corps program?
The 2019 season, we had two crew leaders, college-age students, and we had four high school students who were part of our crew. And their season culminates in a celebration. So at the end of their time with us for the summer, we are in our third year of hosting, well, I should say, we're in our third year of a farm-to-table dinner celebration, which highlights the produce that was grown, featured by local Racine chefs and restaurants. The last two farm-to-table dinners that we have had on our property were sold out. So there's a genuine interest in our community understanding more about what is farm to table. What does it mean to have local produce on our tables? And the farm to table dinner is out in the field. It's a beautiful setting.
Wow.
It's right next to the gardens. And it's a collaboration and a celebration, not just of the crew and what they grew. It's a celebration of community. So we are very fortunate. We have Sebastian Restaurants who leads this for us.
Wow.
Every year. And this year, the participating Racine Area Restaurants, Sebastian, of course, Blue Bear, The Maple Table, Roberta, Butcher and Barrel, The Red Onion. And we're very fortunate to have these, not just organizations that support us, but these local businesses who are vested and are stepping right up into this and saying yes to locally produced food, to quality food, and to healthy food. And we very much appreciate what they're doing to highlight this for our community. So that August celebration of Farm to Table, I am thrilled to say that we had 3 years of our Farm Corps crew present.
Oh, wow.
So we maintain a relationship with these youth. They're not here and gone. We embrace them coming back for these events and celebrations. And some of them come back as volunteers and say, I want to take a shift caring for the animals, or I want to participate somehow in our fall festival. EcoJustice just hosted its 13th annual fall festival. And so we have a market table set up and some vendors that are showing reduce, reuse, recycle, some crafts, some other things. And we receive a lot of support from the community and funders to make all these things happen. And I think probably that's the significance of when we say, are we making an impact? Are we changing these young people's lives in a meaningful way? I think that we're rewarded by the fact that they do come back and they express things that they learned, choices that they make about healthy eating, snacking that they're doing now, having their own gardens. It does make a difference. And if only we could dream that this could just grow and we could support and teach more, not just youth, but adults as well, as you mentioned.
Right.
So
a lot of us have a lot to learn. That's for sure. So you had your big August celebration, and then you also had just now your fall festival, right?
Yes, absolutely. Wonderful event. The children just love to come, as well as adults, but very family friendly.
Fantastic. So I know that you are especially interested. You've already touched on this, but one of the things that is particularly important is that you have in place for 2020 a really good crew leader. And so I want to give you an opportunity to kind of spell that out once again in terms of what that position is all about and the kind of person that you are looking for to step into that position this next go-round.
Thanks for that opportunity. The crew leader is integral. It is a paid internship. It is up to 40 hours a week. It's a full-time summer job that can extend based on the individual schedule and their classwork or perhaps other things that they're dealing with. So there is an opportunity for some flexibility. They need to be willing and able to love the outdoors. They will spend a lot of time outdoors. It's not always beautiful weather. Sometimes it's raining. Sometimes there's mud. But they will be immersed and gain a very grounded knowledge base for growing their own food. And we would love, as we teach them we know that that's just a domino effect. They go through their lives then ideally teaching others. We've been very fortunate with all of our farm crew leaders. They absolutely are vested in agriculture and the environment and being part of a solution. And really, that's, I think, the key thing is these individuals are going to walk away with a great skill set, leadership skills, whatever career choices they make, they're going to have a very good level of understanding of how to be a leader in environmental science. And they're going to experience that at the EcoJustice Center with us.
Very good.
They don't have to be in an environmental sciences program.
They do not. They right. do not. Passion is priority. Yeah. Passion is the priority. That's really what it takes.
Right.
So do you look for someone who has fairly established leadership skills or that's something you're going to build on, that's something you're going to inculcate, as well as communication skills? Since they're going to be a crew leader working with people who are younger than they, and then going out into the community, is that something that you're looking for, or that's something you're just going to build on?
I say that we're very open to the right individual. Mm-hmm. It's not as simple as black and white, you need to check off this box. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you that the crew leaders that really speak to us are the ones that have the passion. They may not have the knowledge or the experience, but they have the passion and they want to learn how to lead. They want to become, you know, that next generation spokesperson. So to answer your question, I would say we're not going to get bogged down in checking boxes. We're talking about individuals who desire to do this.
Right. So if somebody is hearing this and it intrigues them, or maybe more likely, this sounds like something that would be perfect for my son or my daughter or this friend of the family or whatever. This is something that people should start thinking about right now, or this possibility should be shared with them. And what is the best way for them to seek out still more information about this and or contact you directly to learn more?
They may contact us directly at the EcoJustice Center. Mm-hmm. The executive director, Sister Rejen Saitaki, is available to speak with. I also am available. And then on our website, there also will be posted within the next couple months the job description and the opportunity. It's not there right now, but you've just planted the seed for me to make sure that that happens pretty quickly.
So people should just Google the EcoJustice Center, and when they pull up the website, especially in the relatively near future, there'll be all kinds of information about these opportunities. And I assume not just for the crew leaders, but also for the high school youth that also
absolutely
end up being in
absolutely
a sense the workforce for this great program.
So social media, you know, Facebook, Instagram, certainly the website is more static, but we welcome people to explore that. And I think that when we think about the people that participate in the Youth Farm Corps program, that garden that they live with all summer, that garden impacts so many other programs that we have at the EcoJustice Center. We host spring field trips for the schools and organizations, so children come by the busloads and experience the garden and see what's happening and taste things in the early season. We have 4 weeks of summer camp where the garden is incorporated into the curriculum. And those youth also have a lunch every Friday that has produce, usually salads, that are grown right there on site as part of their meal with their family on Fridays when they pick them up. We're entering into October, and the Growing Healthy program, which is the RUSD, Racine Unified School District, over 700 first graders will come out to the EcoJustice Center. The other half will go to Hawthorne Hollow. and they have a growing healthy program. It focuses on digestion and nutrition, but they're going to come into the garden. They're going to pick some of the things right as they're there, rinse them, taste them, you know, learn about healthy foods and learn about digestion as part of the RUSD curriculum. Mm. So from spring to fall, we're celebrating that garden, and everyone who participates in it, it's not just those 9 weeks. They're making a real significant difference in educating all the youth that come and experience that space.
Fantastic. Dawn DeMute is the manager of the Youth Farm Corps program at the EcoJustice Center. We appreciate you being here today, and we appreciate your impassioned testimony to all the good things that happen with this program, and we hope that this is going to go on for another 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 years and continue to bring good things to Racine. So thank you so much for being here to tell this gratifying story.
Thank you for having me. I do appreciate it and was happy to spend the time with you.
Great. Nan Calvert, what's on your calendar?
Well, you know what? We were just talking the other day about how there are so many things to do all summer and fall, so it's impossible to tell all of them. But as long as we're talking about the Racine Dominican EcoJustice Center, on Tuesday, October 8th, from 10 until noon, Sean Radisky of Waterhouse Foods will present rustic breads. So here's, you know, here's flour. What do you do with it?
Right.
So participants will learn how to make sourdough and rustic bread, as well as the history and science of bread making. You have to register for the event just by going to the EcoJ website. It's just a point-and-click thing. The fee is $35, and when you go to do this wonderful class, you get to take bread home. The event is not held at the EcoJustice Center. It will be held in Mount Pleasant in a commercial kitchen. But you'll get all of the information on the website. Then Hawthorne Hollow is having a Hootenanny Harvest Fall Family Event. I love alliteration. At the Heritage Farmstead on Sunday, October 13th, from noon until 3 p.m. The fee is $5 per vehicle. So this event will feature a popcorn labyrinth, junior scarecrow making, hay rides, pumpkin painting, and farm and honey house tours. Snacks and drinks will be available for purchase. There will be live music from KR Bluegrass, and all of the proceeds go to benefit Hawthorne Hollow. And then, not to be outdone, Hoy Audubon will have a hawk watch, again with the alliteration, at Chiwaukee Prairie on Saturday, October 5th from 9 until 3 p.m. So if you've never seen hawks migrating, this is an event that you really don't want to miss because it's something that will stay with you. It's just amazing to see an enormous number of hawks migrating and sort of riding the thermals. It's just something that never leaves you. So it'll be at Chiwaukee Prairie, which is perfect for watching migrating raptors. You're going to meet at 121st Street and 2nd Avenue in Pleasant Prairie. You need to bring binoculars, a chair, snacks, and something to drink. And of course, because it's Wisconsin and you're going to be right on the lake in Chiwaukee Prairie, dress for the weather. There is a backup date the following week just in case the winds are wrong or the weather is uncooperative. So go to the Hoy Audubon website and just check in and make sure everything is good to go.
Excellent. Nan Calvert, thank you so much for being here today as part of the morning show. We appreciate it.
It is always my pleasure.
Tomorrow on the morning show, Clive Wynn, the author of a wonderful book called Dog is Love, How and Why Your Dog Loves You. It's a great book, and we'll talk about it tomorrow on the morning show. Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College, home of the Aspire program and its multifaceted approach to career preparation. The new program is designed to cultivate leadership and entrepreneurial skills while empowering each Carthage student to shape a custom career development plan from their first days on campus. Learn more about the Aspire program at carthage.edu/aspire. From WGTD's Arts and Other Events calendar, we want to remind you of the Bell Ensemble presenting a concert this Sunday afternoon at Holy Communion Lutheran Church in Racine.